And you might like to turn in your Bible to the book of Romans, to the book of Romans, and in chapter 8. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in prayer. And our God and Father, we've just opened thy word on your day, in your time. God, here we are. So deal with us. Thank you for what you do. Thank you for how you do. Thank you for when you do. And our God, we thank you. So give us an understanding heart that we might be able to move forward inch by inch, even so come. And our God, we thank you. We think of the sick and those in need even more so. And our God, we look to you on their behalf. In Christ's name, amen. In our looking and remembering, if you can, we're on the journey. The world is spinning around. And spinning around 1,000 miles an hour, traveling around the sun, 66,000, 68,000 miles per hour, etc. That goes around and around. And the clock and the calendar are totally indifferent to us personally. They don't have a name. They just, people are born, live in time when the calendar is moving in the time, and then the people disappear, and a new group of people just goes around and around. In the process of all of that, God has a wonderful plan. He started time, Genesis 1:1, and he'll finish time, Genesis 21. He'll finish it. Now, in the process, God is doing what he's doing, and we share together that we need to understand all of this is many things are happening, and our little world here is surrounded by all of the other activities that are just as active and just as now, N-O-W. They are now, right now. Our now is their now. All the religions are doing their thing. Nations, politics, the social media, technology, all of that is taking place in a very moving way. And it's all taking place. And we're in the center, sort of, because all of those things relate to us since we happen to be in the middle. We're in the middle. We're part of the system, the world system. And the world system we share together has no place, has no room for God. They have no interest in God. Religion, politics, for God, no. If you're going to pin it down objectively, they don't want to know God, who he is in Christ. We don't mind having gods. We don't mind having Allah. But God, in his awesomeness, that's different. Now, having said that, and here we are, they have no interest in Paul, so none of the system does. So, and in God's saving grace. So we're going to ask ourselves, here we are on earth, and the clock is ticking by, and the calendar's going, and we're doing everything. And in the process of doing all of that, where, what, who on earth is going to do anything about changing anything, fixing anything? No one's going to do anything. No one's going to do anything. The system doesn't care about God, doesn't care about heaven, doesn't care about hell even in that sense. It doesn't care. So it's going around and around and around. It does that. So if we're going to really realistically look to books and religions, politics and philosophies, all kinds of ways to do it, but when you're done, it absolutely answers none of the essential needs of our heart, since we're made, as we shared this morning a little bit, in Ecclesiastes, God made us soul and spirit. We are not just like an elk or a deer or a mouse. We are a person. We have a soul and spirit. We're made for eternity. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. We're made for eternity. That's why we have a problem with death, because we know there's more, but we don't know how to answer it or how to approach it. Now, having said that, and to add to that, we're part of that. All of that we just described, we're part of that evil system. It's made up of humans. Humans have a nature that is opposing God, has no interest in God. That's our human nature. So, Romans chapter 8, reminding us in a way to do it. Romans chapter 8, picking up, please, in verse 6. I could even do verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal, fleshly mind is enmity, hostile, it's an enemy against God. For it is not subject to the law of God. Not only is it not for it, neither indeed can it be. It's impossible for your nature or mine, our old nature, to conform. Our old nature is dead set against God. Until we get saved, well, that's where we are. We live in that world system. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, if you would, and so our only way, the only way that we can answer it in the light of history, in the light of logic, in the light of everything, is to understand we have to look to God, which is what he expects, Ecclesiastes, that's what he wants. Everything is unanswerable, unfixable in the sense we can't change anything. Can't change it. We have the balloon. Think of a balloon, remember? And the balloons with all the different arms and everything. If you go and you get the big balloon, and we try to change the balloon, and we push part of the balloon in, and it pops out somewhere else. And we push another part of the balloon in, and it pops out somewhere else. We don't get rid of the balloon. We don't get rid of it. We try to fix our lives, but all we do is switch things around. Now, keeping that in mind, so God, here we are looking, and God's going to go, and we have to look to God to help us, all the way to help us. And in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I'm the only way. And we have noted that this morning in Matthew 7. Where broad is the way, and narrow is the way. People don't want to go the narrow way. They want to go the broad highway, where you can pick what you want, say what you want, do what you want, as you want. Go down that road. That's what we'd rather have. Jesus Christ is the only way. God is the only way. God has made the only way for us. He made the way for all us humans to be able to know him in a most, most wonderful way. Now, history, back to Israel. What was Israel's problem? Well, they got out of Egypt, across the wilderness. They got into the land. And what were they to do? They were to possess the lots that God had given them, the land that God had given them. They were to possess it. They failed to do so. They didn't follow through. The land was given for them to possess, and they failed to possess it properly. And thus you have Joshua, judges, everyone doing that which is right in his own eyes, the kings, and then the captivity. They didn't follow through. You have to follow through to get the benefits. You have to finish. You have to go down the corridor. You start the race, you got to go down the corridor. You can't stop somewhere and say that's far enough, because you can't do that. And when you do that, you lose out. Now, keeping that in mind, if you can, over in, if I can at the moment, over to Joshua, over to John, if you would. And our Lord, remember, we're reminding ourselves at the moment, the Lord's wonderful information that he's given us. And in the Gospel of John and chapter 16, and you remember, we shared that this morning, don't be offended. The world's going to hate you. You're not going to be wanted. They're going to want to kill you. And they think they're doing God a favor in doing so. Now, that's as you come to chapter 13, 14, 15, 16. When you come to the end of chapter 16 before his great prayer, then you come to verse 33. And we shared that together. God sums up, how do we overcome? The odds are against us. The opponent, the obstacles, overwhelming. There's no way. There's no way we can beat the world. There's no way we can maneuver in our mind and heart, handling the world, and come out right. It just doesn't work. So, what are you going to say, God, after giving all the information that you give, chapter 13 through 16, verse 33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world system, you shall have tribulation, pressure, squeezing, trouble. But be of good cheer, be encouraged. I have overcome the world. We shared together, reminding us, and he is, I am the answer. The way you're going to survive is the same as I have done in front of you for 3 1/3 years. I looked to God and trusted God in my perfect humanity, and God blessed in every way at all times. No matter what the conditions, they all want to kill me. It didn't matter. Just going to look to God. What are you saying, Lord? As I am going to overcome on Calvary's cross, I am going to overcome. And therefore, when you receive me as your Savior, you're going to overcome. Not because you did anything, because I am the overcomer. Now tie this to 1 John. And in 1 John, if you can, in chapter 4. And in 1 John chapter 4, picking up if I may, and you'll note it, our Lord again in verse 1, but beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they be of God, because, many false prophets are gone out into the world, etc. Sliding down. As you know, verse 4, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them. That's a statement. You have overcome. But we don't look like we overcome. It doesn't look like it, but you have overcome. How can you say that to us? Because, verse 4, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Why do you overcome? Because Christ has overcome. John 16:33, be of good courage, be of encouraged. I have overcome the world. I didn't ask you to overcome. I have overcome. There's no way for you to be saved and receive me as your Savior without you being an overcomer. What's the problem? Practice being an overcomer. It isn't something you hope to get to or work up to. He's given you the victory. Overcome. He's given it to you when you got saved. He is the victory. So where am I going to get it? You already have it. So yeah, pray, God, I need it. You already have it. How do I possibly have it? In Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, then you need to possess the wonderful, wonderful benefits of being saved. How can you enjoy the benefits of being saved? Because Christ is the Savior. He is your life, the believer's life. And you just have to exercise your relationship to him. Prayerfully, pray without ceasing, etc. Now, having said that, add to that, how did Israel fail? Over to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 28. And in Isaiah chapter 28, picking up, if I may, in the light of a wonderful section, Israel just needs to pay attention, but they don't. So therefore, verse 10, for precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. Why do you have to keep saying the same thing over? Because you have to hear it again and again. You don't just hear and walk away. I already know that 2 times 2 is 4. I can walk away. And if I can, a little memory, I can remember 2 plus 2 is 4. But we aren't talking about 2 plus 2. We're talking about understanding 2 plus 2 and how 2 plus 2, why does 2 plus 2 even exist? If you're going to teach mathematics, why does it exist? Why do numbers exist? How does it work? Wow. So, sliding down, chapter 28. Now, what do they have a problem with? Verse 12. To whom he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing. Yet they would not hear. They didn't want to hear. They don't mind. They just don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear that. Therefore, did they know and enjoy the wonderful rest that God had given them to go in and possess the land and live in your lot in the tribe in the land of Israel? Live there and enjoy. That's what the millennium. But in the meantime, you can do it. They never rested. They never gave up and said, God, thank you. I didn't do it. I didn't earn it. I don't merit it. I'll never deserve it. But God, you have given it as a gift in yourself, in your Son. Thank you. Thus a rest. They didn't do it. Hebrews chapter 4. And in Hebrews, you'll remember our study of the book of Hebrews and all of that. and chapter 4, picking up if I may. Chapter 4, verse 1. And I'm going to read chapter 3, verse 12 from Psalm 95, etc. Take heed, 3 and 12, Hebrews. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, sliding down. Verse 18. To whom swear they that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believe not? What you just read in Isaiah, they didn't believe. Verse 19. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. That's the mess. They never got it, never finished. They believed, but they didn't believe. I'm saved, but I'm really not enjoying being saved. Therefore, chapter 4, verse 1, let us therefore fear, pay attention then, lest a promise being left us of entering into his, H-I-S, capital S, his rest, God's rest, any of you should seem to come short and miss the mark. 4, verse 2, unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. They just didn't have faith. They didn't hear. They didn't want to believe. They could have had a wonderful rest. Therefore, book of Hebrews, chapter 4, then God, the Spirit of God says, they missed out. You don't need to miss out. You don't need to miss out. The admonition is, don't have a hard heart like they did. Don't do that, because you miss out. Chapter 4, sliding down, as you know, in verse 9. There remaineth, therefore, a rest to the people of God, and we're admonished to enter into that rest. We're saved, wonderfully saved by God's grace. That's wonderful. But we need to go and enjoy the rest of it, or we're not going to benefit. Verse 10, 4. He that has entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, a work out you, not by works of righteousness, which we have done. 4. He that has entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Genesis chapter 2:1, 2, and 3. On the seventh day, God rested. He had made everything very good to work out. Didn't have to do anything else. All he had to do now was go to the cross and make all of that real and right. And so there's nothing else to do, no. And all you had to do was believe God like Noah, and you would enjoy a wonderful rest while you're building the ark. A wonderful trusting God. Now, all you had to do, again, is do that. And God had finished. He finished it all. Where do you know that? From Ephesians in chapter 2 and in verse 10. Ephesians in chapter 2, picking up in verse 10, as you know. And in Ephesians 2:10, 4, I'll read verse 9, because we're mentioning it, not by works, lest any man should boast. On the contrary, but, and contrary, 4, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. God has a wonderful plan for our life. That's why God created us in his image and likeness, to be able to enjoy God in our journey through time. That's what God did. The world's a mess. The world is all going in the wrong direction. But God made it possible for a human being, Adam and Eve, first beneficiaries, Cain, Abel, a beneficiary, Cain rejected down the corridor of time. They all have the benefit. God, you did all of this for us to benefit in a most wonderful, wonderful way of what you've done. Not what you're going to do, what you've done. You're finished, right? You've overcome the world. Not you're going to overcome, you have overcome. How so? As you trust me, I am your life. I have overcome. Be of good courage. That's what to do. You aren't going to do it. So we're trying. See, we're trying to get through everything. And we have to sit back. And I say, well, boy, that's... No, it's wonderfully easy, but terribly difficult to do it. Because our whole nature is going to fight you tooth and nail in a thousand ways. So you can't do it. You don't do it. You don't enjoy all that God would be doing. You just don't enjoy it. Because we're trying to make it. It doesn't work that way. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind if you can, and since you're in Ephesians, look chapter 1 in Ephesians, and we read in verse chapter 1, what do we know about the believer? All this is wonderfully true. And the believer is to be what? Today, just like Israel, but they failed to do it. So what are we supposed to be doing? Ephesians 1:12, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. We're to be his, to God, to be honoring God. Verse 18, how so? The eyes of your understanding, remember we shared this morning, you want to leave yesterday with understanding. You want to understand the present with understanding. You want to understand the future with understanding. Not just to do it, you want to understand. Why is it all true and all work? It all works. Verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that for what praise, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, to know the wonderful glory, the wonderful riches that God has for the believer in Christ. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, so now what do we add to that? Add to that, if you have something in the process, there's a difference. Someone could have, here's all the cars in the parking lot, and you have an automobile, maybe a car. And that's your car. All the cars are there, and they may be washed, they may not be washed, but you don't care. The only car that is precious to you, that you value, is yours. All the other cars are there. But the only car you're concerned about is your car. Another car may have a flat tire, and you care. But it isn't your car. It isn't your car. It's my car, my keys, my cell phone. The Lord is my shepherd. It has to have the personal pronoun that makes it yours. It makes it valuable to you. Precious, precious it has to be. So now, valuable. So therefore, adding to that, back over to Peter. 1 Peter, and in chapter 1. Chapter 2, better. 1 Peter, and chapter 2. And you will note, in 1 Peter chapter 2, picking up, please, in the light of the context, verse 4. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed, rejected indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, most precious, valuable. He also has lively stones. a built-up spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices is acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore, also, it is contained in the scripture, "Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded." God, your son. God, your son. That's my son. Now, verse 7. "Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which are disobedient and not believing, the stone which the builders have disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner," is the headstone of the corner. Wow. Now God's precious. What's precious? He's my Savior. My Savior. He's my Lord. My. No, it's different. The sent car's mine. That stays mine, as it were. So I can have it and own it, as it were. It's a way of transportation. I have a car. It's my car. I take care of my car. There's a lot of cars live on the park in the streets, but I only have to take care of my car because it's my car. It's my life in Christ. He's my Savior. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, so here's all the saying that. Now, put that together in another way. Add to that. Go. Try not to cough. I tried to do that. I tried that this morning, you know, when I took, because I said, I'm not going to cough up there. And I don't want to tell you what I did, because you never want to do what I did. And I took preparations to make sure that I'm not going to cough up there. And boy, I did it. I took more than one spoonful of this and more, a couple of pills like this. I said, I'm not going to cough up there. But boy, my feet went out under me up here. And wow, I was so proud of myself that I was not going to cough. But I'd fall down. You know, what can I tell you? So I didn't tell you how to do it. Just don't follow directions. And the dumb bottle said, don't drive and you're going to be dizzy. But who pays attention, right? Who pays attention to information? You just take it and wow. Anyway. Now, God, here we are. God is precious. Precious God. The body is precious. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. May I go directly in the light of the context? Chapter 5, going picking up, if I may, in verse 27. That he might present it, the church, unto himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For, explanation, no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord cherishes the church. Why does Lord cherish the church? Because verse 30, we are members of his body, of his flesh, of his bones. God has done something wonderful. He's taken, and in his need to demonstrate his grace, he's taken us whosoever's in the church age, in this age of grace, to demonstrate grace and placed us in a unique place as his body. Israel isn't his body. The church is his body. Israel's his nation, etc. Now, here's that body. And go, put that together a little more. Go back over to Ephesians chapter 1. And in Ephesians chapter 1, picking up, and verse 1 and 22, just tie it together in your mind. And hath put, God the Father, hath put all things under his Christ's feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. The church, verse 23, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. God sees the church, sees you, if you are saved, as his body. My body, my body. It's my body. Now, that personal relationship, being saved is a personal relationship to God. God, we're members of your body. What are we supposed to do? Romans chapter 6. And in Romans chapter 6, picking up if I may. Chapter 6, sliding down if I can to verse 11, verse 12. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members. What do we need? Chapter 5 and verse 30. You are members of my body, my bones, my bones. What are we doing as members of his body? I am going to go because I'm a member of his body. Chapter 6 and 13. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. Eyes, ears, nose, throat, unto sin. But yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. I am going to give Ephesians chapter 1, verse 23, where the fullness, Christ, the head, fills the body with his wonderful presence, and the body of Christ completes the head and honors the head. That's why Ephesians 1:18, you're special, special, special. And having said that, and keep me that if you could. So what are we going to do, God? We're going to have to go and understand we have a unique relationship to God. The world's all spinning, everything's happening, and we can't stop it. It's part of the system. We're going to live another day if it's in the Lord's will, another week. Who knows what's going to happen, when, where? God knows. But in the meantime, we're looking to God who keeps us and gives us a wonderful exercise of exercising life, his life, to know him and honor him. So here we are, traveling down the corridor in our little world, this building, and all the rest of everything's going on. And what are you doing in this little building? What are you doing in my heart? You're making me, Philippians chapter 2, a light shining in a dark place. You're making me a light. You're making us a light in a dark world. That's what I'm doing, said God. That's what I'm doing. Give her the light. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, over to Philippians. And you would recall, Paul's in jail, and he, God uses that to write, like Paul Bunyan, etc. and use the jail time in the most profitable way. And therefore, Philippians in chapter 1, what are you going to say to all these churches? Here's the first one, Philippians. Remember chapter 1, verse 6? You receive the Lord as your Savior. Verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you. Remember what you read in Ephesians 2:10. We are his workmanship. He's outworking his good work. Okay. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. That's what we're going to do. I got saved. The minute you got saved, you're on the way. You're on your way down the corridor of time. Exercise it. Exercise. Follow through. But follow through. Well, I'm saved, so I'm saved. You never get anywhere. Never get anywhere that way. No. So therefore, sliding over if I can. And what did Paul, are you doing it? Yes. Paul's following through. Paul's going to go all the way to the finish line in 2 Timothy. Now, here's Philippians and chapter 1, verse 21. For me to live, said Paul, is Christ, and to die is gain. If I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I want not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And here's the Apostle Paul looking to God in prison, in jail, and he's writing to tell him that need to look to Christ, because Christ is the answer no matter what kind of circumstances, condition you're in, the Lord's the answer. Chapter 2. What are we going to do? Well, you know, verse 12, sliding at the there. Wherefore, my beloved, 2:12, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That's what we're doing. That's what we're doing. We're running down the race, and God is, that's what God's doing, with little lights shining, and that's what we're going to do. God saves us. He began a good work. And we want the work to keep finishing. We're members. He's my Savior, and I'm a member of his body in a most special way, and I respond by acting as a member. I belong. Now, sliding along, verse 13. And the reason it all even comes to the reason it all exists. 4:13. It is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And you're letting God be God in your life. That's what you're doing. You're letting God be God. He's the overcomer. You've already overcome. I don't have to work at overcoming. I just have to enjoy being an overcomer. How am I going to enjoy being an overcomer? Because I'm trusting Christ, looking to Christ, abiding as the vine and the branch. And God's going to do a wonderful thing. He's going to outwork everything. And therefore, in the process of outworking it all in this most wonderful way, chapter 3. And in chapter 3, picking up again, in verse 3, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. No, sir, it's nothing to do with about us. It's about God's wonderful, wonderful thing that he's done for us. And sliding down, as he gives all his credentials. He had a wonderful, wonderful, Paul was a Roman citizen. He was rich. He had everything. He had everything. Best school. He had everything. Now, he had everything, but what are you going to do? Well, sliding down, as you know, in verse 7, but things But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. And yea, doubtless, and I count all things but lost, that the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and I do count them but dung. Why? That I may win Christ. I want you to be the center, God. I want to finish the course. I want to finish. I want to follow through. I don't want to start something. I'm a Christian. Bumpy life. No. God, I want to follow through. I want to go all the way. All the way, God. That's what you're looking for in a most wonderful way. Verse 12. Not as though I had it already attained, neither were already perfect, but I follow after. If that I may apprehend, to lay hold of, to possess, that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ. Why did Christ die? He died to save me. When I received Christ as my Savior, he claims me as his own, part of his body. He claimed me. I want all that God has saved. He died on the cross. He took me to the cross. I want everything that God has in mind, in his mind, for my mind. I want what you want, God. That's what I want. I want what you want. That's what I'm looking for. I apprehend. You want it. I want it. You're my Savior. Now, having said that, verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. I haven't got everything. I'm not finished. I'm not finished. I'm still running the race. I haven't finished. You need to keep running. You need to keep walking. You need to keep growing and knowing. You need to be looking to God 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, thanking God that he is your Savior. And he's given you his marvelous person. God has given you his marvelous person in by Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, so therefore, verse 13, I count not myself to apprehend it, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. So I'm going to go forward. That's what I'm going to do. I have to go forward. I can't go backwards. We shared that, and you know that. You can't go back. You can't repeat this morning. This morning is all gone. You never will have it again. You never. In fact, 5 minutes from now, that 5 minutes will be gone, and you're left with the next 5 minutes. It's disappearing. The clock, tick, tick, tick. Calendar, tick, moving. Nothing standing still. World's spinning around. That's right. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind if I can, so God, what are we going to do? We're going to go and have to look to you and forgetting those things. Otherwise, Israel, that's why Israel failed. They thought God gave them the piece of property that they would have, wonderful piece of property, but they didn't possess it. They didn't follow through. They had to follow through, and the only way you can enjoy the property, Israel, is with God. Leave God out, you don't enjoy the property. You don't enjoy anything that God gives. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, verse 14, I press to the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I press, I'm pursuing the mark. Just think of running a race, running. And I remember we did it 100 times. Here's the race like this. We aren't running like this. Verse 14, we aren't going like this down the corridor. What we're doing is going like this for the high calling. We're growing and knowing. We're growing and knowing. And so as we grow and know, we're headed more and more with better understanding, and we're going up like this for the high calling. The high calling isn't the prize. No, the high calling is just to get you there. God is the prize. to get you there. Now, God, how am I going to get down that corridor? I've got to go run the race. Press to the mark for the prize. It's worth it. Is it worth running? Who cares about it? No one. There's no one around in your life that'll ever care like God cares. There's no one around your life that ought to care like you care. That high calling should mean something precious to you. Precious. Valuable. It's mine. It's my high calling. It's my, for my benefit. So here I'm going down. High calling. Here's the ship out of the sea. And you're sailing. And the storm is there. Now what are we going to do in the storm? We're going to look up as we travel in the storm, as it were. And here's the wind blowing. Now, which direction is it going to take us? How's it going to go? May not know in the storm. We don't know how's it going to work out. What I do know is I want to set my sails on the high, for the higher wind, the high wind up there. Not the lower wind, earthly. I want the higher wind. Think of the jet stream. I want to lock on to the high heavenly wind. I want to lock on to the wind that heaven is using and exercising. I want to go and flow with God in my earthly journey in the storm at sea. I want to go with God. But I'm not, the winds are going to take me all over the place. Every wind of doctrine, it's all there. But God, I'm looking to you for the high calling. I'm looking for your heavenly movement, your wonderful movement, because that's what we're doing. We're out living the benefits of heaven. Philippians chapter 4. And God is going to supply all our need. And you know it in verse 19, but my God shall supply all your need according to the riches of his glory by Christ Jesus. God's going to do a wonderful thing and provide. He is your need. And therefore the motivation, the excitation, the expectation of God's wonderful grace in your life is going to do what? It's going to work. David will say, Psalm 31, my times are in your hand, God. And we did all that's a wonderful, wonderful truth, David. A wonderful thing. But David, we're way ahead. Your times, his times, you see it. God's outworking his time in David's life. Ah, but God, here we are, John chapter 10, verse 27-30. But David, if you're listening, David, we are in his hand, not our times only. No one can take us out of his hand. What a difference. What a difference. We're in his hand, and no one can take us out. God, the wind's blowing. We're looking for to get through it all. We aren't going to do it by our lonesome, and we aren't going to understand it all. But what we do understand and what we do know, God, we're on straight on course. We're going to finish and follow through. And it's a very precious thing to you and precious to us. Wow. Our Father and God, we thank you for thy word, thy work, thy grace. Deal with us according to your goodness. Thank you for caring, Spirit of God. God, thank you. Thanks a lot. Thank you for just getting us a little bit. And our Father, we're going to thank you very, very much. God, thank you. In Christ's name, amen.